And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and that there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart and all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom.' And after that, no one dared to ask him any question." I always try to warn you when there's a stewardship sermon coming. This is not a very good stewardship sermon, but hopefully it will be a good sermon other than that. The universe works, doesn't it? The universe just works. Cause and effect, action and reaction, physics never takes a holiday. Let's go back about 15 billion years to the time of what is popularly called the Big Bang. What was before the Big Bang? Physicists don't tell us, because physicists don't know. But there's another theory that this 15 billion year Big Bang event may have been the first of just many, that it happened time and time before, and expanded until it could expand no more and contracted back in on itself. We know what was before, even though that was the beginning of time as time is constructed. In that wonderful story in the book of Genesis, it begins, "In the beginning, God." When the cosmic clock started ticking at that Big Bang event, things happened, and then other things happened as a result of those things happening. And what started out perhaps as a point with no dimension, it was called a singularity. Every bit of mass that would be the universe exploded from that singularity and is still exploding. It blows my mind. You might say that wouldn't take a real big explosion. Then other things happened, and those things were the result of cause and effect, right? Do you know what a Newton machine is? I used to sell them in my gift shops 40 years ago. It's a series of about six or seven ball bearings hung on strings within a frame. And if you take the ball bearing on one end and lift it up and let it drop and it hits the other ball bearings in a row, what happens? The ball bearing on the far end bounces up. And it keeps doing that. The laws of motion. It's fascinating to watch. It's cause and effect. In the animal kingdom, most response to a cause is initiated by instinct, is it not? How do the salmon know which stream to swim back upwards when they're preparing to swim? How do they know that? They could have been thousands of miles away and yet they return to the same stream. How do the hummingbirds know where to go? other than to Kathy's house, who has more hummingbirds than we do. How do butterflies and hummingbirds get their sense of direction? Do they have itty-bitty maps on their itty-bitty phones? No. It's built in, isn't it? It's built in. How do honeybees know how to build a hive in the shape that it's in? It's built into their honeybee DNA. Instinct. Most behavior in the animal kingdom is covered by that. It's governed by that. The response is built in. What about us? What about us? We human critters. God, in God's infinite wisdom, decided to give us these great big frontal lobes. And within those frontal lobes in our brains, whether over millions of years of evolution or all at once, depending on your theological approach, those big frontal lobes gave us the power to choose. That's really what the story is about in Genesis. It's about free choice. God turned us loose. And sometimes we make some exquisitely beautiful, powerful, good decisions. And sometimes we make some dismally, powerfully bad decisions. Free will is the wonderful, sometime awful gift given to us by God, who loved the universe into creation. In every situation, we get to choose our response. In our lectionary gospel passage this morning, one of the scribes was asking Jesus a sincere question for a change. You know, most of the questions that Jesus was asked, they were set-up questions, hoping to get him into trouble. But this wasn't one of those. What is the most important commandment? And Jesus told him, God is one. That's the beginning of that. Remember when we come together and we have our Seder meal and we begin the recitations that have been going on for thousands of years? That's the beginning of that recitation. God is one. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When the young man agreed with Jesus, Jesus told him, and these are just wonderful words here. He said, young fella, you are not far from the kingdom. Can you imagine what swelled up in that young man's breast that day that Jesus had told him those words? And every time we come together here and we say those words and we mean them, Jesus tells us the same thing. You're not far from the kingdom now. That we say almost the beginning of every service. For God so loved the world. And y'all did wonderfully well this morning, by the way. God's act of creation and nurturing that creation every instant. That's what we come here to celebrate. What is our response to that? What is our response to that overwhelming love that comes from the source of all that is? God, the very Creator, the very Alpha and Omega, loves each of us with a love like we are the only ones in the universe at that moment. Wow. So what is our response? Jesus said it in the second half of that. Love God. Love our neighbor. as we love ourselves. This is a response of our own free will. Not any kind of instinctive thing is going on there. It is our free will. We make that decision to love God like that. What form does that take? It takes many forms, doesn't it? Our response takes the form of the gifts we bring. The gifts that we bring here to accomplish that neighborly love. The gifts that we bring to the altar are a part of our response to that question. Every ministry we do here, our food pantry, when you see up to 27 people on a Wednesday morning working from the 7:30-ish, I'm always trying to be here by 8-ish, 30-ish. All of that work is a response to this question. There was a group here over the weekend, and they cooked, and Bobby wasn't going to tell you, but I am. They cooked 500 pounds of Sloppy Joes. That's 2,000 Sloppy Joes. The music that goes on here, that inspires people, that is part of our response. Teaching our children, providing community space for ministry. We got a bunch of groups using our building now, and they are part of our family here. When we care for the poor and the homeless through our soup kitchens and food pantries. When we care for each other here and around the world, when you go and spend a few dollars at the Fair Trade Ministry and those dollars get multiplied by sending them back to 10,000 villages and they send us more stuff and we sell more stuff, there are villages we don't know where in Kenya, in the Philippines, in Bangladesh, in Ecuador, who are living better lives because of that little thing that you bought and gave to someone you love. Caring for the poor, the homeless, each other and our neighbors right here and around the world. The gifts that we bring, the hard-won dollars that you give, are our loving response to God who first loved us. Amen.